This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. He is risen. So on this Easter Sunday, it's always interesting to look at the Gospels and how they treat the resurrection, because in each one, the angels have almost the identical interaction with Mary and the other Mary, but they ask them each different questions, and it's kind of interesting. The first one is from Luke, and the angel asks, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" As you well know, an angel of the Lord posted at the tomb early that first Easter Sunday morning poses this very question to the grieving women who had come out to finish the ritual burial preparation for Jesus' body. Literally, he's asking, "Why are you here? This is a place for dead people. Jesus isn't dead. He's risen. I'll tell you this simple question. Why do you seek the living among the dead?" It served to raise many more questions for me over the past few weeks as I prepared today's sermon. First off, was the angel genuinely surprised when he asked the women this question? I realize angels are God's messengers. They work for him. They do his will. They proclaim his words. Based on what we see in Scripture, they don't give their opinions on things. They simply speak God's word. Did God command the angel to simply proclaim the message that Jesus had risen from the dead? Or did God give the angel the exact words to speak when he sent that angel to the tomb in the early morning darkness that Sunday morning? If that's the case, it certainly makes sense. After all, it was just a few days earlier when Jesus himself told his disciples exactly what to say when they were sent into town to acquire the donkey for him to ride on. If anyone asks, "Why are you untying it?" say, "The Lord has need of it." When the donkey's owner asked them that very question, "Why are you untying it?" they responded with Jesus' exact words, "The Lord has need of it." That was it, nice and simple. So to believe that God gave the angel the wording of this question, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" it makes perfect sense. The angel is going to simply obey God and speak what God tells him to speak. Still, though, being as dysfunctional as I am, I can't help but wonder if there could be at least a little genuine surprise in the angel's question. Why are you here? I can understand having to proclaim the resurrection to a bunch of unbelievers, like Roman soldiers, wicked Pharisees, but you faithful ladies have been with him for a long time. Of all people who would come out to the graveyard at zero dark 30, why are you seeking the living among the dead? I can almost imagine the angel being sent by God to stand post in the early morning darkness with the orders to speak the exact words of the question whoever shows up to the tomb. Okay, no sweat, I can do that. Then the faithful women are the first ones to show up. And they're not showing up with palm branches. They're not shouting hosannas. They're not showing up to be the first ones to welcome Jesus out of the tomb. Nope. They're coming to that tomb in the cold morning darkness, laden with absolute grief and despair. They're coming out to the tomb seeking a corpse. They're coming out to the tomb for the sole purpose of anointing a dead body for a proper burial. That's it. That makes me say, wait. Why are you here? Why are you, of all people, seeking the living amongst the dead? He's not here. As the angel says in Mark, he has risen, just like he told you he would. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men? and be crucified on the third day and rise again. The angel doesn't phrase this as a question, though. Do you remember what he told you? No, that's not how it works. It's an imperative statement. It's a command prompt. Remember what he told you. Stop messing around. These women, some of the most faithful and blessed women in all of history, had personally heard the words and teachings of Jesus for these last 3 years. You would think that something as the word of Jesus for the past 3 years, that he would physically die but be raised again on the third day, would stick in their minds. Particularly when the part about him dying had just come true. And it was now the third day, as he said. But apparently this wasn't the case. Maybe it was a case of in one ear and out the other. Hey, it's happened to all of us, right? Maybe they heard and they forgot. I don't know. Considering all the trauma and horror and sleepless nights they endured over the past 72 hours, you can't blame them for not remembering every last detail that was said over the last 3 years. Then again, maybe they just didn't believe Jesus when he told them how everything was going to go down. Maybe it was nothing more than a case of old-fashioned unbelief and doubt getting in the way and drowning out the gospel of Christ. They wouldn't be the first. Remember Peter? We like to kick Peter around. Now, some of you may balk at me calling the women's actions unbelief. That could never be the case, right? Well, why not? Think about it. When you really get down to it, what else is it? Maybe the word offends you because, well, you're no different than them. If we say that we were languished in unbelief, then we would have to say we too languished in unbelief. Folks, it's what it is. I'm not condemning them or you to hell. Only God does that. Unbelief by any other name, no matter how you try to dress it up, is still unbelief. We're just calling unbelief by its proper name. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Christ told them multiple times what he was going to do, and yet they still went out to the tomb on that day seeking a dead, decomposing Jesus. And we make excuses for their actions all we want. We can try to justify it in any number of ways. But when you get down to it, they didn't believe what Jesus had told them. They were seeking the wrong things in the wrong places. But what about their best intentions? I go, if you want to know the answer to that, ask your grandpa. We know what the best intentions are. So what about you? If you've been raised with Christ, which you have been through your baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, then seek the things that are above where Christ is, right? Set your minds on things that are above and not just on things that are on earth. That's easier said than done, people will tell me. How many of you seek out assurance and peace in the things of this world? The honest ones will confess it. The fools will argue or make excuses. You are known by the fruits you bear. Would anyone be surprised to learn that you don't trust in God above all things? Would anybody be surprised to learn that you put your trust in unrighteous mammon, things that cannot or do not give you peace in Christ? Sadly, the one, only one surprised by such a revelation might be you. What do you mean, people will say to me? Not me. Maybe the better question, and it is very much like the question the angel asked the women, why do you seek peace and assurance in anything other than Christ in his word and sacraments? Why do you seek something living among dead? I can understand why the rest of the unbelieving, materialistic, hedonistic, hypocritical world seeks after such things. But you? Remember what he's told you. By God's grace and the working of the Holy Spirit in and through these means of grace, word and sacrament. This is why we're here. Not just today to celebrate the Easter and Christmas, but to celebrate this day every Sunday, every Lord's Day. He's here for you every Lord's Day. This is why we flee here today. Even as we make our way through this dark, shadowy graveyard, this valley we so foolishly call life, He is why we are here today. We seek the Lord of life right where He tells you to seek Him, right where He promises to be. Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. By grace, through faith, we know and believe these words of the Lord of life are real and true, and not just in a spiritualistic, sentimental kind of way. Think of every place that you replace church with on Sunday and hear it. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This very morning, our Lord and Savior truly comes to you in His word and sacrament, bringing to us His victories of the cross and the resurrection, just like the women at the tomb on that first Easter Sunday so long ago. God's word is still speaking to you this very day, pointing you not to an empty tomb, but to the living and risen Jesus, the right thing in the right place. If I can't drive that home, I failed. That one point that I can't bring home to God's people in this place, then I have failed. St. Matthew's resurrection account. We've talked about Luke, we've talked about Mark, now listen to St. Matthew. St. Matthew's resurrection account tells us how Jesus met these women personally, face to face. As they were leaving the tomb with fear and great joy, running to tell the disciples the good news, Jesus meets them along the way and says, "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." He told them right where to seek Him and right where to find Him. Wasn't a mystery. Folks, He does the same thing today and every Sunday. In good times, in bad times, times of peace, times of war, times of prosperity, times of recession, depression, inflation, in times of health, and in times of a COVID-19 pandemic. Always. Look here, seek me, here I am. I am the resurrection and the life, and I am with you always, even and especially now. Here is your Easter victory. What more do you need? Here is your Easter joy and peace that surpasses all human, worldly understanding right here and right now. My God, it's so easy, it's impossible. So be as like Mary or the other Mary. Go and tell. Go and tell the people that God brings you into contact with, the people you know who are searching and seeking for peace and assurance in a world that seems like it's gone flipped, topsy-turvy, belonging that the world simply cannot give. Go and tell them of the crucified and victoriously resurrected Christ. Point them to, lead them to right where He tells you to seek Him. Not in your own spiritual life, your own devotional life, but where God calls you, what we call the ark of the church. Go and tell them. In His word and sacrament is where He meets us, which are freely given out here each and every Sunday to those who have been prepared. And as you can see from our boys there, it's not a height requirement. But it is a requirement of taking and understanding and discerning the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's a huge miracle. Go and tell the good news that Jesus Christ lives this very day. And He lives to give you eternal life and peace with our Heavenly Father. Take that one bit with you. To say, I don't know everything about Jesus, but I know where He is. And give you a sincere reason to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds. In the one true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.